The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 34 to 39. It is page 210 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the laws of Moses. Amen. Romans chapter 16:23 declares that the wages of sin is death. Before holy God, not a speck of sin can be overlooked, so that wages of sin, the price of sin, can only be death. I said before that death is breathing, leaving one's nose. And then after that, the body decays with a stench and disappears without a trace. That is death. God in the beginning made a man with earth and breathed his life into him. And thereby man became a living spirit. The breath that God breathed into man was not a finite energy that would one day stop or decay or become extinct. It was an eternal energy of life of eternal God and man who received God's eternal life energy was a being that was not to die. But by disobeying God's command by this crime and eating the forbidden fruit, God said, for dust you are, to dust you will return. Now how could a man who has a solid body disintegrate into a handful of dust? It's because it is by death that the body decays and disappears. Therefore, the first people, Adam and Eve, after dying because of sin, decayed and disappeared without a trace. Now, isn't the wages of sin death? That a person has committed sin, in other words, means that a person will die. Therefore, the death of Adam and Eve did not end with their death, but by them committing a crime against God by disobeying his words, degenerated into a sin factory. I mentioned before that all products that are made from a liquor factory are only alcoholic beverages. If there are only differences, there are alcoholic beverages that have higher content in alcohol, whether it's a good quality liquor or a bad quality liquor. So therefore, all men who are born after Adam and Eve were born at the sin factory. In the sense that all men are sinners, there are no differences. If there are differences, it is only differences between ethical sinners and amoral sinners, sinners who have been caught under the law and who are under the restraint of law, and sinners who are lucky enough not to have been caught yet, culture sinners and uncultured sinners, sinners of learning and ignorant sinners, sinners who are white, and sinners who are black, sinners who have a lot of money, and sinners who are poor. all men, without an exception, are sinners. From the facility of a liquor factory, a fragrant cosmetics can never be produced. And it's the same way with men. If from the sin factory, a life cannot be produced. But as I've said before, the wages of sin is said to be death. And it has been said that the death is the same as decaying. So to die means to decay and disappear without a trace. So that Adam and Eve becoming the sin factory means, in other words, that they have become the death factory, and all men who are born from the bloodline of Adam and Eve are but products of death who are made from the factory of death. Therefore, all men are bound to decay. One man, ethical man, amoral man, a man who's been caught under the law and are under the restraints of law, those who have not been caught under the law, those who are cultured and who are not cultured, educated men and ignorant men, black men, white men, rich men and poor men, everyone will decay after death, and there can be no differences among them in this sense. Even a criminal who committed a horrendous crime and died by execution, and a person who died in a mansion, there can be no difference in their death in that they will decay and disappear after their death. So, Apostle Paul, in verse 36, testified as follows, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." Here, if the phrase, "he was buried with his father," or to be more faithfully translated from the original, it would mean that he was laid next to his ancestors. Jewish people, when a person died, laid his body in a cave tomb, a family burial site that is used down through the generations. So, David's body also was laid in his ancestral tomb next to his forefathers. At that time, the bodies of his ancestors would have probably decayed away and only a few bones would have been left. Therefore, David's body, which was laid next to them also, would have decayed and would have disappeared without a trace. Now, this David was the David who fought and overcame Goliath, the giant. He loved God, and God so loved him. All of Israel people admired him, and all Jewish people wanted to be like him. He was that great David. But no matter what great hero he was, and no matter how much Israel people admired and loved him, but he couldn't be a savior for the Jewish people or for the savior of men, because his body also decayed and disappeared. No matter how great he was, he was made from the factory of decay and was no more than a product of decay. As we know already, today's text is a sermon that Paul gave at Pisidian Antioch at a Jewish synagogue. Paul, having come to Pisidian Antioch for the first time in his life, and giving a sermon before the Jews that he met for the first time is emphasizing that David, whom all Jewish people admired and loved, ended up decaying. Now, what would be his purpose in this? He intended to say that since that great David, whom Israel people loved so much, saw decay, he, Paul, who is preaching before them, would of course suffer the same fate. Now, the Jewish people at the Pisidian Antioch is listening to Paul's sermon. From the history of the history of Israel and the life and death of Jesus Christ, Paul's sermon covered those topics, and everyone who was listening to him was totally concentrating on his sermon. But what he was telling them was that they should not focus on him, whom they met for the first time, but they should focus on the message he was trying to deliver, because Paul was trying to say that he himself was nothing more than just a man who would also decay and disappear without a trace. Now, I have a very high blood pressure. I also have a very severe dry eye condition, so that if I concentrate on anything for a long time, I have a difficulty focusing. My right eye suffers from glaucoma, so it lost 30% of vision. When the seasons change, I suffer from a severe respiratory disease. And in my lungs, there are traces of emphysema. And I received surgery on my left knee to remove cartilages, so if I strain a bit, I end up in pain. And the medicine that I take every day is no less than 15 pills. And even so, my physical condition is such that when I give 4 sermons on Sunday, I do not recover fully until Tuesday. And I cannot make an official appointment to meet with people before 11 a.m. because it is difficult for me to think logically and clearly without making a mistake before that time. As of this year, I am 62 years old. And more and more, these symptoms will get worse, and they probably won't get better. While living 62 years after my birth, my body has decayed this much, and one day when breathing leaves my nose, even this body will decay, come apart, and disappear without a trace. The reason that I am telling you all this at this time is because a lot of people register and come to our church because of me. If you come here and focus on me and see only me, and focus on me only, as I said at the new members' greeting last Monday, you won't gain anything. Rather, it would be a waste of time, be a waste of life. You and I are both sinners who are made from the death factory as products of death, who are born from the factory of decay as a product of decay. Therefore, no matter why you came here, from now on, you should not look at me. You should not focus on me. But you should focus on the message that I'm trying to deliver, and to the person whom my message is pointing to. And that person, needless to say, is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at verse 38 of today's text. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, The forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Apostle Paul, by stating, "I want you to know," finally concludes his sermon. Here, the person that he's pointing to is clearly Jesus, and the Greek word dia, which has been translated in our language as by being strengthened by, means through. In other words, it means through such and such person, and to make something a passageway, a throughway, means to go into it. And the phrase forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you in original has been recorded as a passive phrase. The forgiveness of sins is being delivered to you. Therefore, if the original is faithfully translated, it means what you should know is that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is being delivered to you. In other words, Jesus Christ, at that moment, using Apostle Paul as an instrument to all Jewish people who are listening to him at the Jewish synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, is proclaiming forgiveness of sins. Now, what is the concrete meaning of forgiveness of sins? The wages of sin is death, and death is decay. And if so, then forgiveness of sins would be the exact opposite. Forgiveness of sins would mean an escape from death and getting away from decay. Within whom? Is it possible? It is possible only through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we can escape death and get away from decay. Who is Jesus Christ? That forgiveness of sins can be given through which we can escape from death and decay. Let's look at verse 37. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. The Lord who died as an offering on the cross to pay for men's sins and was made to live again on the third day by God never saw decay. Why is it important that he never saw decay? That he never saw decay means that he forever overcame death that brings about the decay of the body, and that he overcame death means that since the wages of sin is death, he overcame the power of sin that causes death. Therefore, it is only through Jesus Christ, only by making Jesus Christ the channel, the forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. This is what Paul is trying to say. And Paul's sermon continues as follows. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Here also, him points to Jesus Christ. And the Greek word "en," which has been translated in Korean as putting on his strength, also means within such and such person. Within the laws of Moses, not one person can be called righteous. And if we think about it, what does it really mean to say that we are made righteous before the righteous God? It means that from the perspective of the righteous God, there is not even a small trace of sin in us, and that there is no sin in us means that we will not die, and that we will not die means that we will not see decay. Therefore, within the laws of Moses, there is no one who could be called righteous, and the men who are born in the sin factory as sinners in their nature do not have the capacity to keep the law perfectly, and all men within the law are bound to die as sinners and see decay. But if anyone is within Jesus Christ, within Jesus Christ, that person can be called righteous. It is because Jesus Christ has never seen decay, and thereby only Jesus Christ is the only person, only perfectly righteous person before God. Therefore, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, even if we may still be sinners, we could be clothed with, strengthened with, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, who never saw decay, and can be acknowledged as being righteous before God. This way, the reason that Jesus Christ can give us forgiveness of sins and to make us become acknowledged as a righteous people before God is because He Himself has never seen decay and became the eternal life in God. This is Paul's sermon. If any part of Jesus from his head to his feet had seen decay, then he could not give us forgiveness of sins, and he could not make us become beings who could be acknowledged as being righteous. Now, Apostle Paul, in verse 34, 35, and 37, emphasizes that Jesus did not see decay repeatedly three times for this very reason. And Apostle Paul testifies as follows through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. We know that even when our breathing stops and our bodies start to decay, our spirits will live on eternally within Jesus Christ. But the deliverance of God is not a partial deliverance that's limited to our spirits. As I said in the beginning, God made man in the beginning with his breath, and he breathed his breath of life into us. He made man as a spirit with a body. Therefore, his deliverance does not reach only our spirits, but it also reaches our body. Therefore, today, as we recite the Apostles' Creed, we confess that we confess during our service that we believe that our bodies will also live eternally. By our bodies also receiving the new life, the totality of God's deliverance is achieved. Now our bodies that will live on the last day will not be these bodies that suffer from high blood pressure, glaucoma, or respiratory disease, or other illnesses that grows old and decays, but bodies that will never see decay. It is to live on with the holy and spiritual bodies with which Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden before they committed crime against God. So by our bodies coming to becoming such spiritual bodies, the totality of God's deliverance will be accomplished.
Yesu Christo 안에서 우리의 영과 육이
If we truly believe that our spirits and bodies will live on eternally within Jesus Christ, then we can go a step further and we can arrive at an even more important understanding. That God not only saves our spirits and bodies forever, but He will also but also the intentions and wills that we have for Lord Jesus Christ will also not see decay. It is the words from the Romans chapter 15, 28. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. Paul, when he was recording the book of Romans at Corinth, his plan was to go to Spain that he believed as the ends of the earth through Rome. He wanted to deliver the words of life, gospel, to Spain. But Paul ended up dying in Rome by being executed by beheading. By dying in Rome, Paul's intention to go to Spain through Rome had come to nothing at Rome, like water bubbles. But did the things in there, did his life then make Spain as his ultimate destination ended in failure? That was not the case. 300 years after he died by execution, the entire Roman Empire for whom he shed the blood of martyr, including Spain, became evangelized. And his intentions wholly came true in eternity. The Paul, who emphasized in today's text about Jesus, who did not see decay no less than 3 times, not only preserved and saved his spirit from decay within Jesus, not only was the grace, God's grace of salvation for Paul ended with his body that suffered beheading, becoming a body that will that has not seen execution, that will never see decay on the last day. No, he went further. And all of the intentions and plans that Paul had for Jesus Christ became fulfilled in eternity without suffering any decay. So we as Christians can come to understand the true meaning of Paul's testimony, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. It means that Christians' intentions and plans for the Lord will never see decay. It may look like failure from outside, but externally, but it will always be fulfilled in one shape or another in eternity. So for a person who wants to live for the Lord, a failing of such person will never be a failure before God. The great artist of Netherlands, Vincent van Gogh, was born as a grandson of a pastor and a son of a pastor. He was influenced by his grandfather and his father and wanted to become a pastor himself and wanted to live a life in which he would deliver the message of love to those who were neglected. But he could not fulfill his plan. if he could not be a pastor, then he wanted to live as an evangelist, so he enrolled in a school for training of evangelist. But his plan also, this plan also, was not successful. Because his plans and his intentions of becoming a pastor or evangelist came to nothing. He started to draw people who were poor and neglected, those whom he wanted to take care of as pastor. And his intention to deliver the love of the Lord to these people came to live on in his works. Although he failed at becoming a pastor or an evangelist, although his life in which he suffered from mental illness seemed like a failure, his intention to live as friends of the poor and friends of the neglected lived on to this day as unmatched masterpieces. If he had succeeded in becoming a pastor or an evangelist, it is a tremendous success that could have never come true. How could his life lived as a pastor or evangelist match the great masterpieces of his works in which he drew the poor and the neglected? Do you really believe that we, within Jesus Christ, are Christians who will never see decay? Then let us also believe that our will for the Lord will also never see decay. Let us not forget that within the Lord, the success in the world is not success, and failure in the world is not a failure. Let us also not fear failure in this world. If it is for the Lord, let us throw ourselves willingly at the task without fear. Although our lives, like Apostle Paul's or Go's, may end up looking like failures from the perspective of this world, our lives will, within Jesus Christ, come alive eternally as the eternal masterpieces, because Jesus Christ is the eternal life factory who has and will never see decay. Let us pray. When the Emperor Nero sentenced Apostle Paul to beheading, Nero seemed like the most successful person on this earth. When Paul, who had the great intention of wanting to go as far as Spain through Rome to deliver the gospel, died of beheading, he seemed like the most pathetic failure in this world. But 2,000 years later, we know that Emperor Nero, who looked like a winner, was actually the loser, and the Paul, who looked like a failure, was actually the victor. Although Paul's intention to deliver the gospel as far as Spain came to nothing during his life, but his will, his intentions within Jesus Christ did not see decay, but 300 years after he died, became fulfilled in eternity by the Roman Empire, including Spain, becoming evangelized. Because the Lord whom he believed in with his life was the factory of life who did not see decay. Dear Lord, to believe in Jesus Christ, who did not see decay, and who is the factory of eternal life, is not to believe only that our spirits will live eternally after breathing stops and our bodies decay, but it is not only to believe that our bodies will live again in a spiritual body that will never see decay, But you have made us realize that it is also to believe that our intentions for you will also never see decay within the Lord. Help us not to fear failings in this world. Help us not to be deceived with the successes in this world. Help us not to forget that failure in this world are not failures. While we have breath, help us to establish holy intentions for you and to throw ourselves wholly for the sake of the Lord. Thereby, although at times our lives may look like failures in this world, may our lives become resurrected as eternal masterpieces within our Lord. In the name of Jesus I prayed. Amen.